Today on Maine Calling, it's Public Radio Music Day. On this fifth annual Public Radio Music Day, the theme is bringing people together from coast to coast. And that's what music often does, isn't it? When we sing or dance or just listen together, all kinds of differences fall away. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, my wonderful Maine Public Music colleagues share songs that represent this idea of music that unites us. What song or piece of music creates connections for you? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible by support from Maine Farmland Trust, working with farmers to grow the future of farming and food in Maine. Learn more at mainefarmlandtrust.org/learn. Welch & Forbes, working with clients to manage the full range of events that come with building wealth. From investments to trustee services, more at welchforbes.com. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal Downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. We're celebrating Public Radio Music Day today. Songs like The Beloved, Over the Rainbow have the power to transcend boundaries and bring people together. Today we're going to hear examples of how music connects us in a variety of ways. Our guests are people you will recognize, my wonderful colleagues, three Maine Public Music hosts who are well known to listeners. Rich Tozier is host of Jazz Tonight, Sarah Tuttle is host and producer on Maine Public Classical, and Sarah Willis is host of In Tune with Sarah Willis. We invite you to join the conversation. Let us know how music has served to connect you to someone or to bridge divides. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Starting us off today is another music colleague. Heather McDougall is Maine Public Classical's Manager of Music and People. Good to have you with us, Heather.
Thanks so much, Jennifer. It's a real pleasure to be here today with you and your team. It's a great day to be here, and it's particularly because it is Public Radio Music Day, as you said. And just to give listeners a little idea of what that's all about, it's a nationwide celebration that got its start about 5 years ago. And the idea behind this day is that it unites public radio music stations, as well as musical artists, fans of music, lawmakers, and all kinds of members of the music industry to celebrate and spread the word about the special role of public radio stations playing in the music industry locally as well as nationally. And every year they decide on a theme to designate for this day. And for this year, they've decided on a theme called Bringing People Together from Coast to Coast. And this means that we're shining the spotlight today on how music and public radio bridge divides and unite communities around a shared love of music and local artistry. And I think this is something that resonates so beautifully here with us as Mainers, because we're so fortunate to have strong, vibrant communities all around us. And of course, at Maine Public, we love local. So it's perfect.
Well, we started with a clip of Over the Rainbow. Tell us why you suggested this song as an example of what we're talking about when we talk about how music connects us.
Yeah, well, when this question popped in my head, I thought, gosh, what would symbolize this day best? And I thought about a lot of things, including lots of classical selections, because we're in from the classical corner. But But the one that kept standing out to me was the song Over the Rainbow. And it's because I had just listened to a recording by Yo-Yo Ma. And Yo-Yo is great for bridging divides, if we can say that. And this then occurred to me as probably one of the few songs that could appear as easily on a pop station, as a jazz station, as a classical, to AAA. It has so many transformations and adaptations, and it works so beautifully in the mall. And I think that's a testament to the power of that song's its melody, of course, and its sort of setting, but also its wonderful lyrics by Yip Harburg. And it has managed to transcend generations and genres for so many years across the 20th and 21st centuries. And I did look this up. I believe it managed to hit number 18 in the top 20 most covered songs of all time.
Wow. Well, Heather, thank you so much. We will all be humming it all day, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And thank you for bringing us together today for this program. Heather McDougall is Maine Public Classical's Manager of Music and People. Rich, I'm turning to you next. As a longtime jazz host, you've shared your favorite songs with your listeners for years now. Tell us whether there's something about jazz that you think represents this theme of connecting people.
Oh boy, Jennifer, you really bring up a big thing. For one thing, I think jazz, which is just a name we use for a certain type of music, we all know what it means, I think, when we hear it. It brings people together. People who have an enthusiasm for that jazz easily connect with one another. And my experience is as a jazz buff, and by dint of merely being a buff, I ended up sitting in this chair over the years. When I meet someone who shares the passion for jazz, we usually bond immediately. If someone I meet really loves the music, it's like meeting a true believer. And after all of that, we need not necessarily be musicians. I'm just someone who is moved in various ways by the music and feel a community with others who are so affected. The theme of the show is connecting with people, music, and connection. I would argue that music simply is connection. It's just another way that human beings communicate with another. That's it.
We gave you and everyone else an impossible assignment. We asked you to think of one piece of music that you think is particularly meaningful in terms of this theme of connection, and you chose Acknowledgement by John Coltrane. Why did you choose this?
Well, that was a tough question to begin with, and I really dug deep into the cranium to see if I could come up with something. And acknowledgement kept coming back. Coltrane just works his magic. In my opinion, Coltrane brought jazz to a spiritual level in a way that no other jazz musician has been able to do. In A Love Supreme, he took music to a level of prayer, a type of prayer that is ecumenical. That's above his own Christian roots. There's a spiritual element in A Love Supreme, which I think can move even agnostics or atheists. It can speak to a lot of people. That's connection. Coltrane created a lot of other intensely spiritual music, but A Love Supreme may be his most accessible.
All right. Well, with that in mind, we're going to listen to John Coltrane's Acknowledgement, which is part one of Love Supreme. Well, thank you, Rich, for that. We're going to turn to you, Sarah Willis. What comes to mind for you when somebody talks about music and connection? Do you think of a song that connects you to family or friends or strangers? How do you frame it?
We get connected in so many ways. I love what Rich said. When you meet somebody who is in your music world, it's like you already know them. You've got a complete strong bond. And when we were thinking about, when I was thinking about the show, I thought about the example of a physical community that happens around music. And I can't think of a more vibrant example of a physical community than the family of people that surrounded the Grateful Dead and traveled with them and for years and years and years just became one gigantic family. And that was all caused by the charisma and the joy and the wonderfulness of their music.
Well, Sarah, when I heard what song you suggested, I just couldn't stop grinning from ear to ear. And I suspect many in our audience will feel the same way. You picked the Grateful Dead's Uncle John's Band as the song you wanted to highlight. Why did you choose this song?
Because it's about a band and it's about a traveling band and it's about what happens when people come together and make music, and it is just magical. And just a little side note, there used to be a music store in Portland called Buck Dancer's Choice. I don't know if any of you remember that, but
I'm
that
not going to
is
sing to you,
definitely
but
fun.
that's from a great.
Yeah, that's from that song.
Oh my goodness. Well, here is Uncle John's Band, a little bit of it from the Grateful Dead. Sarah, where's this recording from? This particular recording?
It's oh my gosh, it's from either it's from
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. It doesn't seem as though it's Working Man's
it's
Dead.
Working Man's Dead. Yeah, and that was 1969, and there was a real fusion of sort of bluegrass and country and all that stuff that Jerry Garcia brought to the band. Beautiful singing in that one.
Well, thanks, Sarah. Okay, other Sarah Tuttle, you're on.
Hi.
Hi,
Nice to be here,
my former
Jennifer.
desk mate. We've been talking a lot about the theme of music and connection, and many people automatically name a pop song when they think of music and connection. Maybe they're thinking about a memory, but what about classical music?
Well, I think in the case of classical music, so much of it is wordless, and it's something really special to share a piece of music that isn't necessarily bound by language with lots of different people. Having attended more than a few concerts in my life, there is something really magical about taking in a symphony or, a wind band performance or a string quartet, and knowing that I'm sharing the experience with people of different backgrounds and ages, and we're all walking away enriched in our own special ways. So it's a great way to be a point of discovery and a point of connection that, transcends words.
And I'm thinking about something Heather said at the beginning of the program, which is about, or we were talking about Over the Rainbow and talking about something being loved over generations. But much of the music that you play has been beloved by generations and generations and generations over centuries.
Yes, it's gone back centuries, if not just decades, and pieces of music are constantly being reinterpreted. New pieces of music that were written centuries ago are being discovered. So it's this remarkable, constantly renewing resource for folks, and it's such a pleasure to be able to share it with our listeners on the air.
Okay, you're up. What is the piece that you chose? I understand it's called Blackberry Winter. I don't think I'm familiar with it.
Well, I was not familiar with it either before I came to work for Maine Public Classical. So when I was asked to think about connection, I thought about how Maine Public Classical is such a great point of discovery for our listeners. And this is a piece that I wouldn't have discovered had it not been for Maine Public Classical. You're going to hear a portion of the first movement of this piece called Blackberry Winter by Connie Ellisor. It's a piece that features a mountain dulcimer, a musical instrument from Appalachia that has cousins in Europe and France and Scandinavia and Germany. So there's an interesting sense of connection between the United States and Europe in this piece, but also a connection between the world of bluegrass and Appalachian music and the symphony orchestra. So it's a beautiful, energetic piece that bridges a whole bunch of different divides.
Let's hear it. Oh, that's beautiful. Now, Sarah, I understand that you and your colleagues want to hear from others about music that is meaningful to them in terms of connection. Tell us about your project.
You indeed. Well, we put together a holiday special every year. It's become an annual on-air tradition, and we're interested in putting listener experience, listener anecdotes at the center of this holiday special this year. So in the days and weeks ahead, between now and November 30th, we're inviting our Republic Classical listeners to share their music-inspired stories and memories with us. If there's a particular piece of music that has comforted you or inspired you or brings back memories of a dear place or a dear person, we want to hear about it. And there are all sorts of different ways that you can submit that story and memory. You'll be able to find more information under the music dropdown at our website, mainpublic.org, to submit your story. We're really excited to hear from our listeners about the music that's meaningful to them.
And you won't be surprised to hear that we already have quite a few listeners calling in to share their stories of music and connection today on Main Calling. That's right after the break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Main Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. For Public Radio Music Day today, we're talking about music and connection. With me are some of Main Public's beloved music hosts, Sarah Tuttle with Main Public Classical, Sarah Willis with In Tune, and Rich Tozier with Jazz Tonight. Share your comments and questions. Do you have a story to share about memories, connections, holiday songs, or music that brought you closer to others? You can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. So many of you calling in, which is just wonderful. We'll start in Pownall with Kate. Hi, Kate. Go ahead.
Hello. I am calling because I want to tell folks about a group I play with. I play the fiddle, and I play with an organization called Fiddlicious. Fiddlicious is in its 18th season. We actually started in 2004, but the pandemic interrupted us. And we're a group of approximately 80 plus musicians playing all manner of instruments, lots of fiddles, harps, flutes, accordions, etc. We're directed by Don Roy and his wife Cindy, who are living legends in the state of Maine in terms of traditional music. And the organization is open to anybody of any ability, any instrument. There are no auditions. And we culminate our year of rehearsing with four concerts, which are happening at this time. So we had two concerts last weekend, and we have two concerts coming up this weekend. We have a fabulous website where people can see and listen to recordings. It's an organization
Kate,
that's
very quickly,
a family.
Tell us what your website is.
It's called fiddlicious.com.
Okay, and I love it because it looks like you get the word fiddle and almost the word delicious in there as well. Kate, you know, thank you so much for calling in. And Sarah, if this doesn't represent community, Sarah Tuttle, building community through music, I don't know what does.
agree. And it sounds like you can hear the fun in Kate's voice, and it's contagious. It's certainly contagious.
Kate, thanks for calling. We'll go to McGill, who's calling from London. Hi, McGill, go ahead.
Hi. So my name's Miguel, and I am a Mainer. I went to high school in Falmouth and am now based in Scarborough. But I just wanted to call in and talk about a project that I recently did that really was a Main production through and through. I've released my first single today, and it's called American Girl. And I had about a month to turn it from the demo stage into a fully produced song because I wanted to get it out before the election. It's about reproductive rights. And I really leaned on the music community in Maine, and every single ounce of love and effort that I put into this project came back at me tenfold. And just working with, producers and instrumentalists and backing vocalists, people were so generous with their time and their creativity and, little trumpet riffs that they've been saving for a rainy day and really brought the project to life. And so, in particular, I would like to extend a thank you to my producer. His name's Justin Maxwell, and he's from Cape. And he really brought the song to life. So I think this project for me was just a really wonderful experience connecting with the music community in Maine and just showing how quickly, musicians in Maine are able to make something wonderful. So if anyone would like to listen to it, it's called American Girl, and my artist project is called McGill, and it's on all of the streaming platforms.
Wonderful. McGill spelled Magill.
Yes.
All right. Well, McGill, congratulations. Sarah Willis.
I just wanted to say that there is such an amazing history of music inspiring people politically and getting the message out in an emotional and a really meaningful way. It's since Woody Guthrie and probably even before that, music and politics have, or political causes, I should say, have had a happy marriage, I think. And I'm looking forward to hearing this tune.
Yeah, and Sarah, when you're talking, I'm thinking about when the most recent time I believe we had Paul Stuckey on the show, Noel Paul Stuckey on the show, and his project to highlight activists who are making music, or maybe I should say musicians who are writing protest songs still today and doing good work. Miguel, thanks so much for calling in. We're going to go to Lorraine calling from Standish. Hi, Lorraine, go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you for having me this morning. I just wanted to share a fun story about a song that connected my husband and I when we started dating about 20 years ago. I loved the Eva Cassidy version of the song Fields of Gold. It was so beautiful. And my husband, Red Gallagher, who is also a musician, on one of our first dates, I decided that he just had to hear this song. So I played it for him. And he looked at me and he said, Lorraine, he said, I've been practicing this song all week to play for you. And he said, what am I going to play? So I went and got my guitar and handed it to him and he played his version. And then he looked at me and said, and why do you have a guitar? He didn't know that I also played music as well. And anyway, couple of years later, we had that song played at our wedding. It just was such a beautiful song. It connected us, and we are now the Redbird Duo for the past 20 years. So,
Oh,
just
wow,
kind of fun,
Lorraine.
a fun story.
What a great story. You don't happen to have your guitar within arm's reach right now, do you?
I do not.
Darn.
I am not at home, and my husband is actually out at a gig at the moment. But anytime, I'd be happy to play for you.
All right, Lorraine. Well, thank you so
Yeah.
much for calling. Rich, that's awfully romantic.
It sure is. It's just proof of connectivity, how it works.
Thank you, Lorraine, for calling in. We'll go to Leah, who's calling from Brunswick. Hi, Leah, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for having me on the air. I'm really enjoying the show this morning, and I'm calling to share just a little story about
several years ago, back in 2016, my mom and I decided to relocate to Maine from New Hampshire. And when we got to Portland, we really didn't know anybody. And walking our dog in the park, we ran into a community radio station volunteer who kind of invited us to come on board at WMPG. And 6 years after we got our first show on WMPG, we've been hosting it ever since. It's called Rock Lobster, and it's named for the B-52 song Rock Lobster. And it's just been a big part of us building community here in Maine, and we've met so many people and even brought in a third DJ to host the show with us on Sundays. And it's become just a big part of our life, and it's such a fun way to connect with the community. And we are very inspired by Sarah Willis's show, so it's a source of inspiration for us. And music has just brought us together and connected us with our chosen home.
And Leah, I love this part of the conversation, how important community radio is. And Sarah, you got your start in community radio, right?
Yes, I did. I definitely did. It was a long time ago, but the little radio station in Blue Hill, I went over there nervous and scared, and they gave me a slot, and it was wonderful. It really, community radio is an amazing, I met so many people, and you just have such a connection with the community. It's really great that we have two, maybe even more in the state of Maine. The two I know about are MPG and WERU.
Yeah, and I'll add to that college radio, the people you meet in college radio. In some cases, like mine, it just sort of gets you hooked and you never leave broadcasting.
I had a show at the University of Maine a long, 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 long time ago.
I love it. Leah, thank you so much for calling in. We'll go to Bangor and Sharon. Hi, Sharon. Go ahead.
Hi. I just want to comment about how music evolves over the years. When I got married in 1998, I had the hymn played, and I cannot think of the name of it now because my vision's gone, but to Beethoven's Ode to Joy, Patty Page, who lived in the Bangor area, played it on the handbells, and it was the most beautiful thing. It just gave me so much joy. And there's so many hymns that have been written based on classical music. Thank you.
Sharon, thank you so much. Sarah Tuttle, I mean, I just got a little shiver because Ode to Joy was my father's favorite, and he's not with us anymore.
It's a fabulous piece of music. And if you're listening to it in the context of the symphony, you go on this big, huge, long journey through lots of music. And then at the very end of this emotionally complicated symphony, you get this fireworks display of joy and really ecstatic rapture, and the power behind the chorus and the soloists coming in with the voice at the end of the symphonic work is really unparalleled. There's a reason that it's this like huge benchmark in music history, and it's something that continues to mean so much to so many listeners today. You know, whether you're hearing it in, you know, the big symphonic context, or, you know, in something a bit more intimate, like a hymn.
Sharon, thanks for your call. We'll go to Chuck calling from Waterville.
This is a great show. And I've never heard it put like Sarah just put Ode to Joy, because it is a beautiful song. And she walked me through the middle of it until the end. And man, that was awesome. Taught me about music just because of what was played in the house, from classical. My dad loved Dixieland jazz. You know, he had a pretty eclectic taste all the way down to the Smothers Brothers, for crying out loud. And you know, he helped me when I got my first record club thing. And he said, you've got to get Dave Brubeck. And he said, Burt Klemperer. And I said, who's Burt Klemperer, for crying out loud? But I've always had such an education, and I really enjoy a lot of a lot of different stuff. I love jazz. I love classical. You know, I love that all. But I'm here to tell you that it's very comforting for me when Friday comes around. And I was in sales and I lost it in COVID. And I would listen to Toby in the middle of the afternoon. And, you know, the lineup on Friday nights, and I'm glad I heard Rich's voice, because, Rich, I've listened to you literally for, I don't know, 20 years or something like that, when you'd have live stuff in there. And it's just a comforting way to end a week. I'm a creature of habit, and I need it. And, you know, I know it's bedtime when Rich is on, and then, you know, Christian McBride does his thing and the midnight thing. And it is really a special time in my day. You know, music can heal the world if everybody would just take five and go quiet and just listen to something that you really want to hear. And I do that every week. And I'm so grateful for everything.
Chuck, thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling in. Rich, that means you may never step away from the microphone and the turntable.
Well, I'll tell you, it's great to hear a fellow enthusiast about this music. If we ever meet, I can get awfully boring talking about jazz for someone who's not a musician. But the thing is, I do run into people. I don't like to say this, but I don't think jazz is the most popular form of music in record sale or CDs, whatever, music sales and whatever. And I run into people who say, well, I don't understand jazz. I don't know anything about it. And I tell them, I don't either. I just like it. And also, jazz is such a big category. He mentioned Dixieland. Well, that's a gateway for all types of jazz. Jazz lovers talk about different categories: Dixie, traditional, bebop, swing, avant-garde, new thing, smooth. I use those terms too. And the thing is, it's all one music. It's like a river. It just flows, and it embraces all of these sounds that we call jazz. Jazz musicians themselves can go on and on about all the people who influence them in their course of learning and loving, or loving and learning this music.
Chuck, thanks so much for your call. We'll squeeze in one more before the next break. We'll go to Jay in Deer Isle. Hi, Jay. Go ahead.
Well, hi. It's good to be on this side of the radio. I just wanted to say a special shout out and thanks to Rich for over the years making the connection between the Maine State High School Jazz Festival in the spring and the live concerts where we all used to squeeze into the Bangor studio, and you'd have the George Stevens Academy band. And for my own self as a musician, radio guy, and a band dad, Rich, you really, I think you really did the state in our earwaves a great service by putting on those shows. And I miss seeing you on Saturday mornings when I used to be a board operator. You really helped train me in. So thanks a lot, Rich.
Good to hear your voice. And I just want to say that one of the things that I use the program for is to toot the horn and beat the drum for jazz events going on around the state. And I urge people, if they're putting on a jazz event or looking for something to do, to take advantage of our community calendar at mainpublic.org. I always go there first when I'm putting the program together to look for jazz events. Maine Public is just a great place to promote jazz in different ways on our website and, of course, over the air.
Thanks, Jay, for calling in. We are talking about music and connection on this Public Radio Music Day. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We're hearing some good music and celebrating Public Radio Music Day today. With me are Maine Public Music hosts Sarah Willis, Rich Tozier, and Sarah Tuttle. How has music connected you? 1-800-399-3566. If you're quick, you can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org or find us on social Media. Now we have a voice message from Chris Moore. He's a music teacher. Excuse me, I'm going to go to Chris in just a minute. First, we're going to go to another music lover, the executive director of the Bangor Symphony Orchestra. She shared this story using our Maine Public Vox Pop app.
Hi there. My name is Renya Sternberg, and I am the executive director of the Bangor Symphony Orchestra. Growing up, we didn't have a TV for the longest time, and my parents played public radio quite often. I remember hearing the news or the Prairie Home Companion show on weekends, but my favorite thing to listen to was always the recorded concert performances of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. I started playing the violin at age 9, and ultimately I went to college for music, and then spent over 25 years as a professional orchestral violinist. I'm quite sure my love for the violin was developed at a young age by public radio. Now as the executive director of the Bangor Symphony Orchestra, I am grateful for the relationship we have with Maine Public Classical. I'm grateful that they continue the tradition I grew up with of broadcasting the Bangor Symphony concerts. And I am quite sure that somewhere a young child, much like myself, is listening and being inspired, all thanks to public radio.
Now we have a voice message from Chris Moore, a music teacher and director of music education at 317 Maine.
People singing together in a group, regardless of their age or social background, political differences, can feel emotionally connected immediately when they're doing that activity together. But another way that I really find music as a connecting point and agent is it's a time traveler. So it can communicate across decades and centuries. I play English country dance music, much of it from the early 17th century. And those little dots and marks on a page that someone put down in a manuscript, I can revive those today. And there is basically no loss in the quality. It's not like a physical item that over 200 years in the material world will decay. There is no decay. The emotional content and information is fully retained when I bring it back to life.
All right. Well, we're going to go now to Lynn, who's calling from Owl's Head. Hi, Lynn. Go ahead.
Hi. I just was listening to your show, which is fabulous, but I wanted to say that, you know, think about the connection that we all had worldwide during the pandemic with all of those balcony concerts from Europe. And, you know, we listened to Jeff Daniels. He had a band, and Yo-Yo Ma had a band, you know, had concerts in his living room. And all of those kinds of things, the Irish dancers that were just wild and did crazy stuff out on the street, you know, that kind of music and that kind of enthusiasm brought us all together, and people were saying, let's have dinner Thursday and listen to Yo-Yo, you know? It was just great. So I appreciate your program, and I just wanted to bring that up.
Lynn, thanks so much for your call. Sarah Willis, I'll turn to you. We tend to want to put the pandemic in sort of a box and not think about it very much. But Lynn's right that music was really a savior for a lot of people during those dark times.
Well, there's sort of nothing quite like it that you can turn on your radio in the middle of a pandemic and be connected to the music, but also connected to everyone else who's out there listening with you. And also the music has a joyfulness or a healing thing or whatever it has for whoever's listening to it. It is, it's so powerful. And when you do put the words and the music together, you get really sort of a double whammy.
Lynn, thanks so much for your call. We'll go to another one of the messages that came in, a Vox Pop message from Jasmine DeRice, a mezzo-soprano, a voice teacher, and a farmer.
I could name thousands of experiences in music in which I feel that fostering relationships has occurred and beautiful things have occurred. but I think one really vital aspect of music and creating family is through choral singing. In choral singing, you can close your eyes and anyone can be any age, any color, any size, any gender, anything, any class, but we're all making music together. Everyone's valuable, whether you're 80 or 18. That's one of the things that I love about music, is that everyone remains important and can share knowledge. And that's how I think music fosters connections and bridges divides.
Calling in now, Bennett Konese from Bagaduce Music. Hi, Bennett, go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for this great program. I'm calling in to let folks know about a really cool thing that's happening up the coast. The community music program that I'm running now called Bagaduce Music, based in Blue Hill in Belfast. And people come from really hours around to be a part of our classes, our ensembles, our concerts. And really, it's really cool to see things like choruses. I've heard Chris say in this last commenter say that the music really unites communities and brings people together. And we're seeing that in our programs, which are just kind of exploding after the pandemic loosened up. People are coming and really putting a new wind in the sails of what's a 40-year-old music library now turned into a music education and concert organization. So just thought people, if they're up the coast a ways, should definitely check out what we've got going on, because we are making communities come together, and it's all through that power of music that everybody's talking about here today.
Well, Bennett, as you've been speaking, Sarah Willis has been nodding and smiling. Sarah, what would you like to say to Bennett? I meant to say Sarah. Yeah, go ahead, Sarah Willis, but that's fine.
You meant the other one, right?
Yeah, but that's okay. Sarah Tuttle was grinning and smiling. Well, we both were, but go ahead, Sarah Tuttle.
Well, in listening to what he had to say, it was reminding me of what Rich said earlier about the ecumenical spiritual power of music, where there are all sorts of folks coming from different backgrounds that when you make music together, there is sort of the spiritual connection that transcends, religion or background. And it's a really great place to find connection. And as a fellow singer, I've gotten to kind of take part in that, the magic of choral singing and the magic of ensemble music making. And it's something that's really special. And I'm so grateful every time I hear about a new opportunity for folks to engage with that themselves. So happy to know what's happening at Bagaduce.
Sorry to cut you off, Sarah Willis. What were you going to add?
No, it's the thing about singing together that is just so unbelievably powerful. And, you know, whether it's in church, whether it's a hymn, whether it's a folk song, whatever. But when you sing together, it is an experience like no other. And I think everyone should do it.
Bennett, thanks for calling in. Let's see. We'll go up to Spruce Head, staying in the Mid-Coast, and go to Peter. Go ahead, Peter.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to make a comment about a show that you've done in the past, Music That Makes Me Move. And I'm going to flip it. That's my interpretation of your show, that music that moves me. And oftentimes I'm listening to the radio and a song will come on and I can't sit in my chair. I just have to start moving. And this is what music does for me. There are certain songs that just make me move. And oftentimes I've gone to see Taj Mahal play on stage, and he mentions a similar thing, that he refers to himself as just being the conduit of the music, that the music just comes to him. And he now presents it to the audience, and next thing you know, we're all up and moving.
Well, Peter, thanks so much for taking the time to call in and share your take on Music That Moves Me. We will go, let's see, next to Anne, who's calling from Waterville. Hi, Anne. Go ahead.
Hi there. So music moves me, but not only physically, but emotionally. It's the key to memory. It's the key to people who've been in my life that I've shared experiences with, musical and otherwise. And I so appreciate it as a non-musician. I'm also would like to say, working in a high school for many years, I used to be in total awe of standing behind the orchestra or the band and watching all these kids using their brains to create this beautiful sound, being able to do something that I do not have the ability to do. And I want to put in a pitch for, please, anyone who's listening, remember to keep music in our schools. Do whatever you can to ensure that school budgets include that opportunity that we give these young people to carry for the rest of their lives. Thank you for letting me.
Ann, thanks for your call. Rich, I bet you couldn't agree more.
I certainly can't agree more. It's it's such a great force. I just want to say something. We're talking about music that moves. The previous caller mentioned music that moves me. I'm reminded of this phrase that Ornette Coleman came up with, the jazz saxophonist, dancing in your head. It's great that music can get us to move physically and get up and out of the chair and move about and dance. But not all music is conducive to that, but you can dance in your head. And I think that a lot of music does that. It just gets us moving inside. It's a very personal process.
And thanks so much for your call. We will move to Bucksport and David. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you so much. So much to say about music. It's such a huge part of my life, and I'm glad to hear it connecting with so many other people this morning. I was lucky to be identified as a singer at a very young age. I learned to sing harmony by singing Peter, Paul, and Mary tunes on my brother's knee as he played the guitar. I was 5 years old, and he was 16. But flash forward, I got my music degree and was able to go on choir tours to Europe twice and once to Mexico City with my college choirs, and that taught me to be a global citizen. Music is what brought me to the world and brought the world to me. Luckily, at age 24, I finally started taking lessons on the Highland bagpipe, inspired by my aunt some many years earlier. So I've been piping for 41 years, and I sort of was the famous piper in Maine that stood on the cliff outside of Acadia National Park for 14 years there in Hull's Cove. I always said I was the most famous piper in Maine, but nobody knew my name. But that all changed when I got printed as one of the 100 reasons to love Acadia National Park for standing on that cliff at Hull's Cove for 14 years. But music connects people through their memories. When I play at somebody's funeral or wedding, people will come up to me after I've played and they'll say, you know, the last time I heard bagpipes was at my uncle's wedding 30 years ago. And I just love that. So the importance of having live music at any of your events that you want to create a lasting memory for everybody who attends, it's crucial. Bring musicians in. We love that kind of work. And it's what keeps our culture hanging together around this connection of the arts and music. And the last caller said, keep it in the schools. That's crucial. Let's keep our young people brought to music because they will bring music to the world for the rest of their lives then. Thanks for letting me talk
about— Yeah, David, thank you so much. And we'll try to squeeze in another call. Unfortunately, we're not going to be getting to everybody, but we'll go to Tom calling from Dresden. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm calling to let the veterans know that we have a veteran jam section at Togas on Fridays. It's open to any veteran. It's a guitar group for the most part, but we do have a keyboard. We meet in building 232, room 107.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for calling in and sharing that, Tom, a way of building community and bringing people together through music, which we've been talking about for this entire hour. I'm going to end here with an email from Carrie. Carrie writes, the only other thing beside music that unites us, as in enjoying our experience of it together, is food. So, Sarah Tuttle, I know you are a really good cook and couldn't agree more.
Very true. I think that, you know, food is a wonderful example of lots of like cross-pollination where folks are sharing different, you know, seasonings and techniques that have made their way across the world. And, you know, it's a nourishing thing. It's something that someone can make with a generous spirit for those that they love or for complete strangers. It's another great means of connection where everyone walks away feeling full in a different sort of way.
Well, I want to thank all of you for being here. Sarah Tuttle, the host and producer on Maine Public Classical. Sarah Willis, of course, host of In Tune with Sarah Willis. And Rich Tozier, host of Jazz Tonight. Very seldom we get all three of you together. This is wonderful. Today's sound engineer, Sam Tracy. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the show, election issues, tight races, referendum questions, and more. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio, and I'm hoping that right now we have some more John Coltrane to bring us out of this program.